Matthew chapter 15, beginning from verse 10, the Bible says, "And he called the multitude," that's Jesus, "and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after that heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Verse 15, Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth into in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from," what is it? "The heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Go to Proverbs chapter 4 and beginning from verse 23. Let's say this together. Proverbs chapter 4, beginning from verse 23. Ready? Begin. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Father in heaven, Lord God, we do ask and pray for your blessings upon your word to our hearts. Heavenly Father, we know that our heart is stubborn and at times could be hard. And I pray right now this morning as we come before your holy word that you'd help us, that you'd break down any barriers, that you make the soil ready. Please, Lord, I pray if there be any hindrances, that you'd remove those hindrances. By your grace, you'd help us, Father. I pray that you bind the devil, the evil one, far away from this place. I pray that you suppress any thought that would arise in our hearts regarding fear of man or persecution or the cares of this life that would perhaps choke or destroy the seed that would fall in our hearts. Lord, I just pray for every one of us this morning that you'd help us have a ready heart to speak about this subject, the heart issue, that would be a people that would fear to live out what you'd have. Not for us, dear God, not for us, but for your glory. And for the sake of the gospel, God, please help us, for every one of us once again this morning, from just going through the motions of coming to church. Father, please, we desperately need to hear of you, that our walk with you may be stronger and that our love for us, others may also mature. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. You may be seated. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Have you ever said things that you wish that you had never said? Or perhaps have you ever done things that you wish that you have never in your life done those things? Have you ever thought about things that were distorted, misguided, and you acted upon those misleading thoughts? Have you ever regretted some of the things that you have done in your life? But I don't think that's the worst thing about that issue about doing things or letting things slip. That is something that we do need to protect, no doubt about that. That's something that we do need to mature in and getting our spirit in order for us to watch what we say and watch what we do and the different things like that, so we don't hurt God or hurt others. But I think the thrust or the matter of the issue is this. That when we do fall into different things like this, be tempted to shift the blame. Whether it be on the circumstances, or whether it be on others. whether it be on God. Many a times perhaps you'd go through a certain period of your life or in the day and you'd tell that person that you were mean to or you were frustrated or agitated and you'd just say to that person, look, I'm sorry, it's just the day. I'm having a bad day. And sometimes the issues of life, of what we do, I tend to blame on the day. I feel sorry for those dogs. You say, what are you talking about? Well, those poor dogs were from that lazy student not doing their homework. The dog ate my homework. Now, the worst thing about not getting things done and not completing things is not at times because of the circumstances or others. It's got to do with my heart. Out of the heart are the issues of life. It's a terrible thing when a person comes to the point where they're blaming or shifting their problems, their issues, their bitterness, their anger, their unforgiveness, their whatever it is that they're harboring in their heart, they shift it and they blame others. The Bible says, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, there's a lion in the streets. And so many a times things may happen in our lives, things may slip, but the danger of those things is when we shift the blame on others. And the Bible is very clear, is out of the heart is the issues of life. It's a heart problem with every single one of us today. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 3, and I want to see you, show you from the scriptures that all the way from the beginning we had this blame shifting. I want you to see there in Genesis chapter 3, beginning from verse 13, the Bible says there, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And that's true. The serpent did tempt and deceive Eve into partaking from that forbidden fruit and to rebel against God. That's true. But at the same time, Eve had a free will to exercise, and she, by choice, by her own heart, following her heart, chose to act upon that misleading of the devil. She fell into it. She yielded to that temptation. And again, it's the most common, perhaps, statement in our Christian life as Christian. What is it? The devil made me do it. Sometimes the devil gets blamed for some things that are things that are just simply our fault. It's our yielding to those temptations, yielding to those things that the devil perhaps has really brought out in the world today. And I'm not denying the fact that our world isn't in a mess. It's in a mess. And the surrounding of our world today, no matter what you see, temptation, we are facing with it, left, right, and center. But I want to remind you today that for every Christian, God has given us the Holy Spirit of God that is greater than he that is in the world. We don't have to live powerless. We don't have to yield to Satan's temptations. We don't have to be governed by him or the world or the movement of the world or the culture of this world. We can guard our hearts from falling into those temptations which we combat every day. And not only that, but also Adam blamed who? First God and then Eve. Notice in verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree where I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. God, the woman that you gave me. And then he blamed Eve. She's the one that tempted, or she's the one that gave me of this forbidden fruit. But whose choice was it to receive it? Adam? It was his choice. But at the same time, the blame shifting we can see takes place in the beginning of time, and especially with the time of Moses. You remember that time when God used Moses and Aaron to lead the children out of bondage from the hand of Pharaoh, and they came to a standstill, and they saw that the ocean or the water there, the body of water, and they came and they looked back and saw that the Egyptians were after them, and they said these words, And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? They're just complaining. They said, we're better off in Egypt. Why did you bring us here where there's no grave? And it's amazing, after 10 powerful signs that God had given to the Egyptians as a sign of God's power, the Israelites would have witnessed God's power. Time and time again, 10 times as a matter of fact, they're witnessing God's hand and God's power. And when they came to a standstill of this circumstance, of this situation, they want to go back and blame the one that led them out of bondage. Has that ever happened to you? Ever prayed that God will lead you out of a certain matter, and that you had your prayers answered and you knew it was from God, and God led you out and God took you to a place, and then things didn't turn out the way you expected them to turn out? And you cry out in the Lord and you tell Him how terrible it is. Did you know, I did a poll once at a church, and the statistics came to me that were so surprising, and it was this: are you bitter with God? And 50% of those Christians, I quote, Christians, 50% said yes. They were bitter with God. And the truth of the matter is, we have no reason to be bitter with God. No reason at all. It is God that gives good gifts. It is God that delivers us and has His hand upon us. It's amazing, even after the second time that the children of Israel murmured, God still granted them their request, even in their complaint. Notice in the Exodus chapter 16 and verse 2, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, this time because there was no food. Again, they see, can you imagine with me this morning, that the body of water just splits like an elevator? Just splits like that. Just God splits the ocean. And then all of a sudden they came to another standstill. The circumstances of life. What, have you come and do you want to bury us here? Just time and time again. But all along it was their heart issue. All along they were never content. All along it was their unthankfulness. Did you know that thankfulness is one of God's sacrifices that God will have us to sacrifice to Him? There are a few passages in scriptures that God delights in the sacrifice of thanksgiving, of being appreciative of what God has done in our lives. And I think as Christians we need to simply guard our hearts and protect it from the sin of unthankfulness. And then again, they came to a point of the third murmur in Exodus 17 verse 2, wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up, out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And he just delivered them from the hand of Pharaoh, and they were in bondage. He just split the ocean that they'd walk on dry ground, and here they are fed, and now they're thirsty. Instead of seeking the Lord and asking the Lord to provide, they again murmur. Blaming who? God. Well, they blame Moses. Did you bring us out here to thirst? To die out of thirst? And he says, why do you tempt the Lord? Evidently, when Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, it was by the hand of the Lord. They knew that. But they just wanted someone to blame. They just wanted to shift this blame to someone else. Did it ever occur to you that Moses didn't murmur when they came to this certain situation? He didn't murmur about it. You can respond in two different ways. When you come to a crisis in your life, you can get bitter. You can start being unfaithful. You can have a bad attitude. And you can start complaining about life and how it's not fair. Or you can resort to God and keep seeking Him and thanking Him and being appreciative for what He's done in the past. We're so easy to forget what God has given us. I mean, you just think about the benefits of God. You think about how He has created us, given us family and friends and children to enjoy, and food, and thank God for food, amen? And thank God for the taste buds that we can taste the food. I mean, think about that. And then when He gave them food, they were sick of the food. They wanted something else. Can I just tell you something today? Like, honestly, we haven't made more than those people back in the Old Testament. We do. I mean, the things that we can taste, it's amazing. It's more than that rich man in Lazarus. I mean, that rich man on his table, I guarantee you, he wouldn't have what we have today on the table. He wouldn't. I consider myself to be rich in this country. And yet, time and time again, we can murmur, we can complain. You say, well, because it's the circumstance. It's people. It's the system. No. Out of the heart are the issues of life, the Bible says, and God declares to us this morning. Out of the heart are the issues of life. I want to show you just an illustration that I learned from the Dr. Jim Berg. If you would, brother, just I'll have a little hot water in that. Let us continue that in Jeremiah and see what he says. Jeremiah 17 verse 9. And I want to remind you this morning, please. This is the word of the Lord. Okay, so if this message is going to hit a nerve, or this message is going to be hard to take in, don't blame me. This is the word of God, amen? Amen? And look, at times we don't want to hear it. At times it's against our flesh, but at the end of the day, if we are saved and we know that this is needful for us, we have to hear it. Well, I want you to show you an illustration. Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the Bible says the heart is what? Deceitful. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately what? Wicked. Who can know it? Okay, this tea bag represents our heart. And this cup, which is filled with hot water, represents the circumstances of life. And when we are placed, as this tea bag represents our heart, in the circumstances of life, the circumstances only reveals what's in our heart. It's not the hot water that's the problem. It's not the circumstances of life that's what's the problem. When we're put in a hard situation or frustrating situation and we respond in a bad attitude, negative way, in a very bitter, unforgiving, whatever it is way, it's not the hot water. It's not them. It's me. Because God and by His power has given us the ability, if you're saved, to respond by the fruit of the Spirit, which is what? Love, joy, peace, temperance. And so out of the heart are the issues of life. The hot water, the circumstance is not necessarily the greatest problem, though there are problems in the world today. But it's my heart that's the greatest problem that needs fixing. Because I can be put in a worse situation ever faced and walk in the Spirit of God, and God will help me to respond with that new heart that He's given me as a Christian in a very way that odor that comes out, the odor in there that comes out, it's sweet smelling odor to God. And I can say, Lord, like Job, You gave, You take away. I'm going to bow down before You. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to be unthankful. I'm going to bow down for You because You're worthy. It's easy to have your heart under discipline when everything's going good, isn't it? But what about when things get tough? What about when the wind blows and it's blowing a strong storm down your way and it ruins things and it blows the top of your roof? How would you respond? And the rains start coming in. How would you respond? Out of the heart, the Bible says, are the issues of life. The heart is desperately wicked. It's full of evil, deceptive, destructive, devouring poison. It is toxic and venom. Pride leaks out. It starts wars. It destroys marriages. Churches are split because of it. God is not considered. You even look out the world today and you see the unbelievers blaming God for our current state, for the world hatred and pride and the way it's heading. You know what? They want to blame God. Where's God in this? It's sin. It's pride. It's man's heart. It's not God. God is good. It's the man. It's his heart. For mankind to even rise up and hearken and have his stiff neck toward God proves to us that we have a wicked heart. Because we have a good God. And the problem is today in our country, it's not the circumstances that cause these problems, it's our wicked heart that causes these problems. Bad attitude of heart is able to damage a relationship even with others, the Lord. It leaves a bitter taste in your mouth. It keeps you in bondage throughout the day. Look, listen, not only in a day, and if you're not careful, it can keep you in bondage for weeks, months, and years. And you think you're okay, but you're not, because your heart is deceiving you, thinking you deserve better. It's terrible. You lose your joy. Everything you do is frustrating. And God never ever intended for the Christian to live like that. Even in the midst of persecution, the Church of Macedonia, they were in poverty, they were in affliction, and yet they were still serving the Lord. They were still seeking God in a very passionate way. They could have let their circumstances of their life and their current situation put cold water on that fire, but they didn't. Surely the grace of God was in that church. Bad attitude can leave you years on end miserable. Someone once said, sow a thought and you reap an action. Sow an action and you reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap character. And sow character, you reap a destiny. And it's so true. And the Bible says, the book of Proverbs, God's wisdom given to Solomon, recorded for us. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life, thoughts, emotions, affection. Things proceed out of that heart. In order for us, at times, we act upon those things, whether it's anger or envy or jealousy or evil speaking or bitterness or whatever it is. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. God says that if you can control your spirit, if you can hold your tongue, you're better than the mighty than he that taketh a city. I mean, a man could be talented, fully equipped, much wisdom, looking good, dressed apart, clean cut, all the rest of it, 5 stars. But if he can't control his temper, if he can't control his spirit, he's a weak man. The Bible says that one that holds his spirit, holds his tongue from flickering and causing destruction and evil, is better than the mighty. Better than one that can take a city. Better than a conqueror. One that can hold his tongue. One that can keep his heart. One that walks in the Spirit of God and walks with God. Now, what does it mean by keep thy heart with all diligence? What does it mean? Well, to keep is to watch over, or to protect, or to guard against. In other words, it's almost standing like a security guard will stand. Have you ever seen those security guards stand outside the bank? Sometimes I think to myself, why do they put these security guards outside the bank? He's not really paying attention. He's not really, he knows that at times things can't happen. He just stands there, looks around, walks around. I don't know, they still exist today, but they exist long before. There were many of them. But not that kind of security guard. Not just a title of watching and being careless and not diligent. But have you ever seen the armor guards? If you haven't, pay attention to these armor guards, security guards. Have you ever seen those armor guards that collect money to take that money from one place to the other? About three, four barge out that van. One stands over there, one stands over there, one stands over there, one stands near the truck. And I guarantee you, you can't talk to them when they're on duty. Honestly, you watch them. They're on full alert. You say, why? Because those trucks are always prone to be hit. And they know it. They're an easier target than a bank. And so they've got about three, four security guards at watch, diligently. And even though they watch diligently, the enemy still comes and the people still try to take over that van. It's amazing. But God will have us to be diligent, watching over our soul, not careless, not indifferent, but watching, diligent. You say, well, help me today. How can I keep watch over this heart? How can I maintain it? How can I be just watching over it with the utmost diligence that God wants me to? Well, number one, I want to bring your attention to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. I've got 2 points regarding this principle that we can watch over our heart diligently and keep it, guard it. And the first principle will be given this morning and the second principle will be given tonight. The first principle is this, found in Psalm 119 verse 10. The Bible says there, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Alright, note it in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that what? That I may not sin against thee. Hiding God's word in your heart. The word of God is hid in our heart for a purpose. So when we're faced with these hot water situations, when we're faced with temptation, we can quote the scriptures that we know, and like the sword of the Spirit that God gives us, which is the word of God, we can have victory. So can that happen? Absolutely. I don't have to keep falling into the same trap of bitterness, evil speaking, gossip, tale-bearing, unforgiveness and anger. I don't have to keep falling into this. If I get those verses that would simply help me and hide them in my heart, when the temptation arises, I can just whip out the sword of the Spirit, amen, and just, I'm not doing it. See, sin is, temptation will happen all the time. When you're faced with temptation and it rises in your mind and in your heart, you haven't sinned yet. You're tempted. But it's when you yield to that, when you fall into that temptation, it brings forth death. So before I'm yielding to that temptation, what can I do? Scripture. Think about, what are you struggling with? What do you find yourself falling in time and time again? That you can search the scriptures, put them on a card, review them, meditate on, chew on them, and say, God, this is what I'm struggling with. I need you to help me. Memorize it, hide it, and when the time comes, you can memorize that scripture like Jesus did. Without sin, praise God for that. Jesus was tempted in all points like we are, but without sin. And when the devil came 3 times to tempt him, what did he say? How did he state each statement? It is written. Wow. He didn't have an argument with him. He didn't even criticize him. He just used the word of God, the powerful word of God, to put him to flight. That's one way we can resist the devil. Join on to God, and he'll join on to you. How do you do that? But not falling into temptation? Resisting the devil? Hiding God's word in my heart? Allowing God to speak to my heart? Walking with the Lord? It's wonderful. To keep guard, watch, to be diligent, is to hide God's word in our hearts. Let's use some examples. Proverbs chapter 25. Proverbs chapter 25. We'll use a few examples out of the Proverbs. I love the book of Proverbs. It's heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. People say that Solomon was the wisest man on earth, and that is true. But do you know why that he was the wisest man on earth? Because God had granted him his request that he asked this one thing. Over 3,000 Proverbs God had given unto him, and now it's recorded for us that we can learn from him. And we can be wise in these circumstances. When they do arise, well, we can keep guard over our hearts by knowing these scriptures and hiding these scriptures. And hey, our main text comes from Proverbs. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. But notice with me in verse 18 of Proverbs 25. This is when you're tempted to lie, or tempted to give a false testimony, if you would. A man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a more and a sword and a sharp arrow. Okay? What that means, it means a more is something that is a mallet that breaks. And you know, when I think about that, proverb, seeing what damage it can do. If I bear false witness, if someone comes to me and he gives me some information and I don't even know if it's true or not, and I go ahead and I echo that to someone else, you know, I can do damage to that testimony that I've given to that person. I can do damage. I can break many things about that person, their reputation. I can break many things, but not only that, a sword. This can easily take a person's life. It pierces through. It slices. A sword and also a sharp arrow means it can come from a distance. It can come secretly. It can come from a far country. I think about that. Where did this news come from? Do I really want to stand as a witness for something that I really don't know? I don't know the facts. When you're tempted to lie, in whatever circumstances it may be, even the work circumstances. You know, I really believe, as a Christian, the word sickie, or chucking a sickie, shouldn't be in our vocab, amen? Shouldn't even be there. Shouldn't even be thought about. Okay, you probably get tempted, but hey, with the sword of God, amen? Get it out of there! It's only when I ring up the boss and tell him, hey, listen, I'm not feeling too good, that's when I yielded to that temptation. It may come. Oh, I just feel like chucking a sickie, and probably you do. But no, I don't want to be a false witness. I don't want to be a liar. I want to be true. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Okay, see another one there, tempted with spilling the beans, okay? Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. You probably hear this morning and you say, Charlie, I'm falling into this. Okay, you can fall out of it, praise God. There's forgiveness. And God is gracious to us, and that's why we're here, that God will help us from here on in. Use the word of God to help us protect this heart from falling into temptations. Okay, now notice in verse 13 of Proverbs 11, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Meditating on the verse helps me guard my heart from not being a talebearer. You know what a talebearer is someone that tells a tale. And that tale is brought from some other place to another place, or from one person to another person. Now, whether that tale be true or not, and whatever the circumstances is, it could be a secret. I need to help my heart be guarded with this verse, not to spill the beans. We're actually even talking about it last night around the table. We had a wedding. We're just talking about it, and I said, and it was just the fact that my friend was about to tell me something that he was praying about that he didn't want no one else to know yet, and that was fine. And at times, my wife was there, and he would say, "Oh, she says, I won't let no one know, and I'll be praying about it. And you know, and so my wife just overheard that, and she said, "What is it?" I said, "No, it's okay, sweetheart." And she says, "Oh, that's okay. She's your wife. You don't have to, conceal it from her. I mean, you're one. Anyway, more prayer, the better for me." I said, "Well, yeah, but at times I know that we're one, but even some things I don't want to tell my wife." And you say, "Why do you have that rule?" Because I want to protect my heart. I really do. I want to protect me from making a habit that whatever I get, I need to share it. Sometimes I don't. And sometimes my wife doesn't need to know what I know. And sometimes it's better that she doesn't know. Praise God. I was talking to him about how I used to be, especially growing up as a Christian, and especially before a Christian. Man, you tell me a secret, man, I'd leak it nearly every time. I'd just be forgetful. I'll just, time and years will go on, and I'll just think, I forgot that was a secret. And I'll go back to that person, is it still a secret? Do people know? It's terrible. And sometimes you wouldn't even think about caring to go back to the other person. You were just a sinful person that didn't really care. But as a Christian, and as the people of God that we should be, we should care, amen? And standing as that security guard, guarding our hearts, saying, "God, I don't want to be a talebearer. I don't want to carry information that's kept a secret to some people that they don't really need to know. I want to guard my heart from being a tale teller." All right, another one, Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. That's inclined with this last proverb that we spoke about. And verse 20, it's tempted to listen to tales. So you're not the tale teller, but you're the listener to the tale. And the Bible says, where no wood is, there the fire what? Goeth out. So where there is no tale bearer, the strife ceaseth. You know, at time you can encourage a tale bearer to continue telling tales. And you say, how? By listening to their tale. So the best thing that you and I could do is when someone grabs information to us, and it's not really relevant, we can't help, the best thing to do is withdraw, change the subject, prayerfully consider another subject. What are you doing? You're not putting wood on the fire. But the ear that you give to that person, you're putting wood on the fire. The heat turns on. Someone said it's not the heart of the matter, but it's the matter of the heart. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Let's go to another one. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 28. These are wonderful to memorize, honestly. These are wonderful to meditate on and memorize, to hide. Say, Lord, I want to keep guard over my heart. We heard just a while back, and we're going to refer to it, of what the Pharisees thought what true holiness was. And we're going to refer that to that a little later on. But verse 28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted what? Wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Even a fool. Can you back up a bit? Go to verse 12. When I look at this verse 12, it amazes me. It really amazes me how God has allowed this to speak to my heart about what a fool is and what he can actually do and what destruction he can cause. And you know what, folks, this morning, listen, I'm saying this because as a preacher, I don't want to be a fool. I'm made of flesh and blood just as anyone else. And it's amazing how time and time again, when I think about this, I think about this proverb that really speaks greatly to my heart. Notice in verse 12, let a bear be robbed of her will, a fool in his folly. You know what that says? Imagine you met a bear Imagine you met a bear and he had his little babies stolen. What would that bear do to you? Think about that. You met a bear in the prime of his little children being taken away. What's he going to do to you? I mean, without his little babies being stolen, he's still going to rip your head off. But imagine, with his little ones being stolen, what's he going to do to you? He's going to shred you to pieces. And the Bible says it's better to meet a bear. Better to meet a bear than a fool in his folly. So, wow. Fool in his folly? Yeah. When a fool doesn't guard his heart, he's in the prime time of his foolishness. And it's, you don't want to meet that person where in the prime time of their rage and foolishness. They'll shred you to bits. Whether it's physically or emotionally or whatever it is. And then the Bible goes on to say this. Even a fool, when he holds his tongue or his peace, it's counted wise to him. Every time, every month, I go through the Proverbs, at least a chapter, somehow that, you know, when you read some Proverbs, some stand out more than others. That one still stands out the best. Amen. We're prone to fall into it. But we need to keep this heart with all diligence. So we don't fall into things. We're not foolish. And we don't become taken by our emotion. Let's go to verse 1 in Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. This one is when you're tempted to retaliate or to hit back. Okay, again, this is all the sin of emotion, of guarding that heart, whatever it may be. Over here, it says, put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. To put away is to turn off. It's like a running tap. Water comes out from that running tap. It's just to turn it off. The Bible says, put away. Or in other words, withdraw. Withdraw, especially when you're caught in the trap. Have you ever found yourself in perhaps an argument and you thought to yourself, how did I get here? I didn't mean to be in this situation. Or whatever it is, when you're witnessing or whatever it is, whether it's between husband and wife or whatever it is, have you been in a situation where you thought, how did this end up like this? Well, the Bible says, just turn it off. Don't continue in it. Put it away. Withdraw thyself. A soft answer turneth a what away? Wrath. And sometimes a soft answer can go a long way. When you're in the heat of the moment, you need to turn it off. The Bible says in 1 Peter, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that speak no guile. The boneless tongue, so small and weak, can crush and kill, declares the Greek. The tongue destroys a greater horde, the Turk asserts, than does the sword. A Persian proverb wisely saith, a lengthy tongue and earthly death. Or sometimes takes his form instead. Don't let your tongue cut off your head. While the Arab sages this part, the tongue, great storehouse, is his heart. From the Hebrew writer, springs up, though the feet may slip, never let your tongue. The sacred writer crowns the whole. Who keeps his tongue doth keep his soul. Amen. That's what the Proverbs say. Whosoever keepeth his mouth, keepeth his tongue, keepeth his soul from troubles. Guard. How? The word of God. Hide it. Meditate on it. When the time arises, I can use the Spirit of God, or the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, to just cut those things off. What comes out of your heart, what comes out of your mouth, may prove what's in your heart. Let's go back to that passage in Matthew chapter 15. Would you do that? Matthew chapter 15, we're almost done. You're doing great. Praise God for the word of God, amen. That helps us and that guides us. As we look at this passage of scripture, we see that Jesus Christ is instructing both religious rulers as well as his disciples about what truly defiles a heart. He comes up in this passage in verse 18, but those things which proceed out of the mouth, notice what he says, come from where? The heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth a man. Defile is, to be defiled is to be polluted or to be unclean. And let me just say, just for the record, not any way or shape or form, Jesus Christ is saying, go ahead and live life in a way where you stink physically. There's no way in the world that Jesus Christ is saying to go on and live your life in such a way where you don't look presentable and you look disrespectful. He's not saying that at all. As a matter of fact, Jesus Christ is addressing these religious rulers and he's addressing their heart. Because what they thought to be somewhat holy and what they thought to be somewhat good is the outward appearance. They always focused on the outward appearance. But not only that, remember the time where the Pharisees would compare themselves to other people? Here there was a publican praying and Jesus said, this Pharisee looked at the publican and he said, oh, thank you, God, that I'm not like him. I fast and I pray and I give. And you say to yourself, well, regarding washing and regarding praying, regarding giving and regarding fasting, does God, does he want us to do these things? Absolutely. God never, ever, ever, ever said not to fast or not, well, except the time when Jesus was with him, but not to pray or not to give. As a matter of fact, the Bible's packed up with it. It's full of it. But what was the problem? It was the heart problem. They thought that this is what makes you clean. Oh, thank you, Lord, that I'm not like that scumbag over there, publican. I'm religious. Thank you, Lord. And it was the matter of their heart. It was a matter of, you know, just simply comparing, if you would. And Jesus says, no. No. And I'll tell you why. Because no matter what we do, no matter what good that we do in our Christian life, it can never justify the attitude of the heart. It can never justify what comes out of this heart. And James goes on to say that if any Christian wants to be mature, the maturity of his faith is not his standards, or not how much he prays, or how much he fasts, but is this, holding the tongue. That's the maturity of Christian life. Does that mean all these other things are irrelevant? No. They have their place. They have their place. Does that mean that God doesn't want our sacrifices and to live a holy life and to have convictions and standards? No, he does. But they have their place. And it's the attitude of the heart behind all these different things. But it's when I lift myself up against someone else and I think in my heart that I'm better than them. And I think in my heart that I've got it together. And it's an all outward expression. But try to let that guard down and you are who you are when you're at home. Your heart is really tested when you're in your own home. It's easy to come in church and put on a front, amen? But the question is here, if you have a wife, how are you treating your wife? You treat other members in the house with respect and love, but in the house, you treat her with disrespect. That's what the Pharisees did. It's not how good you put a show on. It's not how good you look and how eloquent that you speak. It's not about all these things. It's about having a humble spirit before the Lord, saying, God, I want you to help me be what you want me to be for your glory. And I want to love others the way you loved others, with a pure heart. I don't even want to put on loving others. I can't put it on. It's disgusting. I want it to flow from the Spirit. I want it to be genuine. I want it to be true. You see another sacrifice being made. When the person wanted to present their sacrifice to the altar, And what did Jesus say? Leave it there. Leave it there. Go and reconcile with thy brother. That's what I want. That's what I want. I don't want you to be unforgiving. I don't want you to be bitter and I don't want you to be self-righteous. No. It's not about that. It's not about the gift. It's not about the sacrifice. It's about your heart. For some of the Israelites, the sacrifice was a mean to the end. You know what that means? See, Lord, I did my part. See, here you go. It's not a means to an end. The sacrifices that God required was never to say, God, see how wonderful I am? See, I got you the first fruits. Isn't this great? And then I go live my life and it's backbiting and devouring my neighbor. You know what Jesus said? The second commandment. You love your neighbor, you're fulfilling the law. And love, peace, joy, and all the fruit of the Spirit. Against such thing, there is no law. How are you going to do it? Live by the word of God. Let God rule you in your heart. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. Live the word of God. Walk with God and spend time with God. And when you do fall, friend, I'll tell you something. There'll be times when you get down on your knees and you say, God, I don't want to be this person that I am. Please forgive me. It's not about competition or how well one dresses more than the other. It's nothing about that. Absolutely not. It's about the heart. It's about the heart. It's not how great the standards one person have compared to another. You got it wrong. It's about the heart and my response to what God wants me to do from His Word. From His Word. Because out of the heart are the issues of life. I tell you here today, I don't want to be someone that's shifting the blame. Shifting the blame because of my lack of service. Shifting the blame because of my lack of love to someone. Shifting the blame for my lack of submission. Shifting the blame for my issues that I have. I don't want to be that person. I want to be a person who's saying, Lord, work on this heart. Operate. And when you're under the word of God, that's what happens. Because the Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It even goes through the bone, the marrow, straight to the intentions of the heart. And that's what God looks at. Why do you do what you do? Oh yeah, I forgive him. I forgive him. I forgave that person a long time ago. But you still talk about the hurt. That's not forgiveness. It still comes up. And the matter is repeated time again. There needs to be time in our life where we leave that gift and whatever we do, we get right with that person in our heart. We get right with God. Say, God, I want to be pure in my service. I want to be pure in my prayers. I want to be pure in my walk with you. Operate on me. Let the word of God convict me. That I may be this person that you want me to be. Friends, without the word of God, without being under the word of God, without being in our place, whether it's in the church, whether it's in our devotion, whether it's a time of meditating on the scriptures, we cannot guard the heart. Absolutely. If it wasn't for this sermon today, how would I know about what God wants? What God is more concerned about? And I'm telling you today that God is more concerned about the heart motive. God is more concerned about love, forgiveness. God is more concerned about reconciliation. God is more concerned about kindness, gentleness, meekness, than looking good from the outside. And from the inside, I'm just like a dead man's bone. Terrible. Rotten. How do I guard this heart? Lord, I want your word to rule in my life. So when I do fall into these things mentioned, I don't want to shift the blame. I want to get right. I want to get right. Because it's not, it's me. And we're going to talk about tonight, what if you did get hurt by the circumstance?
or by someone, how should we respond? We're going to talk about that tonight and apply the second principle that will help us guard this heart. One verse and we're closing, and that's in Psalm chapter 37 and verse 30. Let's just say this together. Ready? Begin. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Let's say it again together and loud. Psalm 37, verse 30. Ready? Begin. The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. May God bless his word to our hearts, that would be doers of the word, and we'll be diligent to guard this heart, that God may use me in a great way for his glory, for the sake of the gospel, and for the sake of my neighbor and the edification of the saints. Yep, it's not about Charlie. It's not about you. It's about him. And it's about others. For the glory of God, may God help us live out this message. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord God, we just come before you and we praise you for your word. We're so thankful, Father, that it's sharp, it's good, strong, and it helps us. Yes, Lord, it cuts, but it cuts for a reason, that we may be healed by your word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that we may be a people that are thoroughly furnished and ready for every good work, perfect, mature. And I pray, Lord God, that we would allow the word of God to just that, please, Lord. Pray that we won't be proud, resistant, hardened, but I pray, Father, that the response to your word this morning will be one of meekness, one of receiving, and one of doing. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment this morning. If you're not a Christian with us today, the message wasn't directed on salvation. It wasn't a salvation message, but we'd like to let you know about how you can get to heaven, how you can have your sin forgiven and get right with God again. You say, well, I don't know that if I die, I'd go to heaven. I've never had my assurance, but I want to know. Please pray for me. Anyone like that, you can slip up a hand and slip it back down. I'd like to pray for you. Anyone like that, say, please pray for me. All right? Maybe a Christian. You may be struggling with some things. But I urge you today, Christian, I urge you with all my heart, don't be resistant to the word of God. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, you say, God, yeah, times I've been blaming some things, but I want to hide your word in my heart. I know I need to be worked on so I can be put in the toughest of things, the toughest of circumstances, and I can still come out as gold because your word is able to help me through that. So I don't want to, Brother Charlie, leave some things undone. I want to make sure that I've gone reconciled. I don't want to spend my days, weeks, months and years in bitterness. I don't want those years to be wasted in despair and lose my joy. Honestly, I really want to just let God continue to work on this heart. And I want to serve the Lord, love the Lord. I don't know what your circumstance here today. I don't know what God spoke to you about. But perhaps you want to make a decision today while the piano is playing. I want to give you a moment to spend some time with the Lord. You can either kneel down or stand up or whatever it is that you want to commit to the Lord. You can do it right now. Say, God, work on me. Just work on this heart. I don't want to look around. I don't even want to say, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this message. No, no, no. This message is for me. Me. I'm the one. I'm the problem. So maybe you're here today. So I need to get right. I don't want to have my heart hardened. So maybe you're struggling with some things. You want some prayer. Say, Brother Charlie, please keep me in your prayer this week. I'm struggling with some things. I need to finalize some things in my life. They're hindering me from knowing God more. Please keep me in your prayer this week. Would you lift up a hand and slip it back down? I know who you are. I'll be praying for you. Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Please pray for me. Think about me during the week. Anyone else?